Welcome to Bald Move TV Banshee Edition. This week we're talking about episode 406. Only one way a dogfight can end. It's gonna end. Can't end.
I think one of our new favorite games that we've been doing is guessing who says the episode title throughout the episode.
Oh, we whiffed so hard.
This one seemed like such a Job thing to say for me.
And I was saying sugar. It's gotta be sugar.
We were both super wrong.
I mean, if you triangulate the position between Job and sugar, this is as far away as you can get from that. It's the neo-Nazi.
Yes. Complete 180.
I'm one half of this team that completely failed in a prediction. I'm Aaron.
And I'm the other half that's mostly right. Right. I almost said wrong. Mostly right most of the time, Cecily.
We're talking about this episode. Here's the thing. We usually talk about how we feel about this episode, and I think this is a fine episode, but I'm becoming aware that what's really... I'm having a harder time getting these episodes because now we're two episodes away from the end, and I just cannot see where this is going to go that's going to be interesting or satisfying or feel like, yep, that was the cherry on top that I needed for Banshee to go away.
I agree. I think this is the kind of balls-to-the-wall show that would have done so much better, as True Blood suffered from this as well, if you had just done fan service to close out the season, or at the very least, given our characters some closure. But what you've done is spit out these new stories and introduce these new characters that I don't particularly care about, and I don't see how, again, like you said, how they can wrap that up.
That's the thing. The stakes... What are the stakes? Eliza Dushku is held hostage by the Satanist. I don't give a shit about Veronica as a character.
In fact, I'm rooting for her to die so that we can get back to our characters.
I never really liked Davis or her stakes as what's going to happen to her as like the inheritance of all this badassery ass-kicking isn't that super interesting to me.
Right.
Rebecca is interesting, but she's dead, and which of her... age-inappropriate, father-figure, sexual conquests is going to avenge her is not that interesting either.
No, it's not.
Not interesting enough to take her off the board. So, like, I wanted to see Job rescued, and that's been done. And, him and the Hood made up, that was great. But I am not seeing exactly where he's going with all this, too. I don't know. It's really bumming me out, because this Satanist shit is just... patently ridiculous.
Yeah.
And really it just doesn't feel... And what's hard for me to understand is it feels like they had a humdinger of a season 4 set up for them. Carrie's lost her husband. She wants to dedicate herself to killing Proctor, putting an end to Proctor's domination over Banshee. And, they had to get Job back, and they could have recruited him and gotten him back, and then the whole team rallies together to get...
one last heist.
Take down Proctor. And instead, I've got Hood actually scolding Carrie for being involved with Proctor.
Like, right.
Come on, man.
Yeah, like you wouldn't do the same thing given the chance.
I want them all on the same team against Proctor, and they are on the same team against Proctor. This is just bullshit posturing about him being afraid and concerned for Dava, which again is fine, except for I just never really liked Dava. So
yeah, this is the season where Hood just gives up all of his morals, just gives up a lot and easily. And that's not the Hood that I've come to love these past three seasons.
Yeah.
This is the guy that'll just beat the shit out of you just because.
His dick got broke this episode.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, you're finally, okay, like, I guess you're going to fuck Eliza Dushku. That's what you got to do. And then you just sob quietly in her arms.
Yeah.
Nothing dries out a Dushku faster than a Lucas Hood sobbing and rocking silently between her breasts, I think.
Right.
Her strategically concealed breasts. Her ironclad no nudity on Cinemax contract concealed breasts.
Yes.
You know who doesn't have an ironclad nudity contract?
Carrie?
No.
Siobhan?
No. Come
on. Siobhan, I got naked.
The guy that got naked this episode.
Calvin.
Calvin does not have an ironclad. And the rare full frontal male nudity.
Yeah.
Can't have an erect penis.
No.
But we got the full frontal nudity.
Right. Let's start from the very beginning.
Okay. Get me back on track.
In the very, very beginning, a place we don't go to very often, the TV ratings. the Cinemax ratings.
Oh, yes.
We saw them first, and we thought to ourselves, we get all of the ratings except for rape.
Yeah, awesome. That's like the that's the best combination you can get. All the adult situations minus the RP.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Except for the fact that there was actual rape in this episode.
There was a very clear case of marital rape, and we're like, huh, is this going to be another one of those situations where it's like, well, they don't really consider it rape? But then in the Insider Banshee thing that's on after, you can either watch the Max Go or it's on after the episode.
Yes.
The director says, oh, yeah, straight up, this is rape.
Yes, and the character very much believes that it was rape when she talks to Bunker later about it.
I'm really scratching my head about what do you have content advise? I mean, granted, I don't know that a lot of traumatized rape victims are watching Banshee on a regular basis.
Still,
but you got content warnings for a reason.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck? This is a, I don't know, it seems like a Cinemax fuck up and not a Banshee showrunners and people involved with Banshee fuck up, which is nice. But
right, exactly.
Get your shit together, Cinemax. I would think they would be the best at the content warnings because they've always been known as like the Skinemax. You know, they're always doing the adult stuff,
yeah, exactly.
The sexual stuff. So get
they know how to properly label these things, so do it.
Yeah.
Opening credits. What are your thoughts? What new did you see this week?
So we got the thing, the continuing theme of Deva. The thing I don't get is it seems like they're building this thing where Deva is going to assume the mantle of Hood and Carrie, or Anna, whatever you want to call her. And that continued this week with the teenage girl in the Polaroids having the apple didn't fall far from the tree, you motherfucker, and it's your fault. So I guess that, I mean, are we going to see, like, is that going to, like, Hood and Carrie both going to die, and Deva walks off into the distance with a, you know, semi-automatic pistol tucked into her waistband and the small of her back, like...
And her asthma brother, who they haven't shown in seasons.
Sure, with her mirrored sunglasses on, and she's going to get on a motorcycle and ride off into the distance.
Yes, I think that would be best if she and her brother just leave the town forever.
Yeah. It'd be interesting because I could see, if this show didn't end and kept on going, I could see how Carrie and Hood could become her rabbit. Like these criminal gangster parents who think
that they're doing their best.
And just they don't want her, that they want to put her in the box of their own making and control what she does. I think that would be kind of interesting. Probably more interesting than what they're going to end up doing on the show. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's where they're going with that. But I'm not feeling it because I thought that, because I was keeping these Polaroids in mind when David does her first murder. And I thought she was pulling a Carol from The Walking Dead where she was pretending to be like more traumatized and crying. But then no, it does seem like that was just very hard for her. So like with two episodes to go, I don't see her transforming into Hood or Carrie in any kind of believable way anyway.
Right.
What do you think?
I agree with you.
I also noticed the only other change I saw that's really substantive was the safety pin wings on the ever more elaborate Satanist hole punch collage thing they got going on.
Yes.
I took them as they're supposed to be wings.
Yeah, they could be wings in like a body mod type of way.
Or I wonder if, like, because I've seen those exhibitions of body mod people where they're hung up by meat hooks.
That's what it made me think of.
Oh, so it's like there might be a scene.
They do it in those exact shoulder places.
Yeah, yeah. So they could be going there because they did show, like, big fisherman-style hooks in people as part of these body mod things.
Yeah. So then we start with the florist taking some pills.
Satan's little FDS girl.
What were those pills? You think
they must have been something to calm her nerves, or maybe like dull pain?
Maybe.
Because she was well and truly on fire before she even
started screaming.
Like Tibetan monks are not in this competition. She was like really stoic.
Right. So she goes to Brock and sets herself on fire to make a point, send a message from the Satanist that he's not done killing girls.
And he just, to prove his point, he just had one kill himself right in front of you. Brock, take that.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to get to smell a burnt Satanist out of the Banshee police? I mean, this is...
What do you have to do to have someone talk you into setting yourself on fire to prove a point?
I don't know. Worship the devil.
All right.
I mean, that's enough, because there's a lot of devil worshippers out there that are just, you know, they're probably perfectly nice, nonconformist people. I don't think they're setting themselves on fire or sacrificing people or anything like that. So you have to be crazy, I think.
Yeah.
You have to be crazy. A particular combination of crazy.
Right.
And he's been working. I mean, that's the thing that we found out this episode is he's been working this angle for perhaps 10 years. Like...
10 years.
Yeah, when he statutory raped his current wife.
Yeah, you're right. He's just a very manipulative person.
And but I feel like that we're going to find out that he's like, you know, he selected her as his child bride of Satan and he's been working on her. I mean, it's been a project, this guy.
Right. So, let's go with Calvin's story. And I keep writing down her name is Claire. Her name is Maggie.
Yeah, I don't know why where we're getting the Claire thing.
Calvin wakes up Maggie, and he's there fully naked. Do you think that was a prosthetic penis?
It's hard to tell.
But it was there. And he's covered in Maggie's father's blood, and he rapes her. And then she goes to Bunker later and tells him what happened. And Brock offers to shelter them in his own house and... also says that it's clearly obvious that you are cheating on his brother with
it Maggie. It only took me 10 seconds. Now, granted, I'm an unusually perceptive cop, but I don't know. I feel like Bunker's protesting too much because Calvin clearly has an idea that she's fucking somebody else. His first suspect was to go to Bunker's house and look for her. I feel like that there's... I don't know what difference it makes because they've got a blood feud anyway.
Right, exactly. I mean,
if I want to kill someone because I'm so angry at them, and then I later find out that they've been fucking my wife, does that move the kilometer up a notch? Like, once you got murderous rage, that's like red line. You can't get any higher than it's like an all black album cover. How much blacker can it get? None more black. You can't get any more of a murderous rage going. You're turned up to 11.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe when his son starts calling Bunker dad.
okay, sure.
That's when it gets when true black.
yeah. Okay, all right. So we're just stars. Really dark shades. Yes. Metallica's Black Album level of black. There's a couple more shades you can go.
Yes. So, any more thoughts on their story? I don't know. Not much happened there for me.
Nope. I guess the other thing is that he's mentioned that they haven't fucked in months, which is,
I mean, which
kind of gives us an idea how long things have been going on with her and,
I guess that's
and
true.
Bunker. That's a little bit of clue of when they started doing all this stuff.
Yeah, he's crazy. So
I know they determine that in flashbacks as well, but
right,
you know, the time where she first came over with whatever her Amish friendship bread after he got burnt to them being. Although I don't know, maybe she did. Maybe she was. Keeping the Calvin thing go. Who knows? I don't know. Hmm. I feel grosser than wanting to analyze that anymore.
Right. So in Hood's story, Hood finds Veronica's crack pipe. She says that she went undercover and got addicted. And she's very blasé about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty tough for pretty white chicks.
Yeah.
But was it tough for you, Veronica? No. Because she's got, you know, it's essentially to, I guess, sell that she's a bad motherfucker. She's either got to fuck the perps or do drugs with the perps or sometimes, on both. Special occasions, ooh, both.
Yes.
I think Hood is one of those special occasions.
Yeah, where she's eyeing it. Is she working an angle here?
She's offering the pipe. She's offering the canal. It's all the things are on offer, yeah.
So then Veronica and Hood go find Dr. Quick, and the scene was hilarious to me personally. She comes in the front door, and Hood is waiting at the back because it always goes the same way.
Yeah, he's waiting in kind of like a saucy manner.
Yeah,
I thought. Like,
yeah,
I can't really describe his body position. It's kind of like a vertical draw me like one of your French girls.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing. What exactly the direction was there, but it made me laugh.
It was good. This is one glimpse of Hoodness that we got.
Uh-huh.
So they question him for a while, playing the good cop, bad cop thing, I think, here. And then Hood says, let's go. We're not going to get anything from him. And turns out that he's got magician-style stealing skills.
Yeah. Of course he does.
Of course he does. They go see the bartender.
He stole the man's camera that I guess he takes pictures of all of his
Did I not say that?
He doesn't have any kind of detailed medical records, which probably that seems like a reasonable thing to not have. But why does he take pictures then?
I don't know. To have a portfolio of work.
You download those onto your camera and then wipe the card? Like,
yeah, that guy. I mean, those horns, I guess you call them. I don't think they really look like horns.
Uh-huh.
But those seem like they're not new.
And people keep... this is what's really bugging me. People are calling them devil-style horns. Show me a picture of the devil ever depicted as having...
bumps.
Silicone half circles in two of them on each temple. Like, that's not devil that I know and love.
Yeah, no. It's not selling me.
That's not my Satan.
Hashtag not my Satan.
Yeah, well, we should start that going into the Forever Fanshee hashtag not my Satan. Not my Lucifer.
So they take this camera to the bartender at the Body Mod BDSM bar, and he's able to identify Declan Bode as the devil horn guy.
Mm-hmm.
He
apparently peels his own fingernails off with a paring knife just for a recruiting tactic.
Yeah. Pretty gruesome.
And everybody else at the bar is like, hey, dude, we're just posing here, okay? Could you take your real life, your real ass Satanist shit somewhere else?
Yeah, can you take it down a notch? I'm sure there's a Craigslist ad that was meant for you.
Yeah.
He's
the hardest of the scene kids, and everybody else is jealous of him.
Yes. So Veronica has him run down, and he has one statutory rape prior.
Mm-hmm. Next county over. It's not in Banshee, so who gives a shit?
Exactly. Of Kim Newton. So in the meantime, while they're waiting for this information to come in, Hood and Veronica almost fuck already.
Almost.
Before.
Until the ghost of Siobhan comes and cock blocks them both. She just floats into the room and goes, "Woo! I'm hotter in every way and more relatable." They kind of, I think everyone wishes they hadn't killed me off last season, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she holds him as he cries about Siobhan. And then Veronica goes to Kim Newton's old house where she lived with her parents, apparently still living there after this happened.
See, I think we're going to find out, and again, I don't give a shit, but I think we're going to find out that the Satanist and the Kim... Declan and Kim killed her parents.
Yeah.
For their so they can run their Satanist empire with her mom and dad's non-Satanist money.
Anytime a crazy person says they left it to me, you took it.
Yeah,
by force.
No kidding. Yeah. In fact, they might be buried in the basement or something.
Right. So Veronica questions her and alarm bells go off. She doesn't believe the story. So she gets in the car and makes one final phone call, letting him know all the information that she needs to before she is taken by Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about that?
I mean, clearly Hood's going to go to Job, and Job's going to whip up his MacBook, and they're going to trace the cell phone tower, and they're going to find that it's here, and, you know, like, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And if they don't get there in time and Veronica dies, I don't care. There's zero stakes for me.
Right,
and exactly. I don't like. I seem like a lot of people in the forums personally just don't like Elisha Dushku, and I'm playing that up a little bit because I don't have any opinion of her one way or another.
Right,
but I certainly don't care about her in the context of Banshee.
No,
she has been she's a weird character, and she's this cop with a drug problem, and you know, I've seen that done a lot.
Yeah,
so I just don't know why she's not special to Hood. There's no connection to that character, right, to any of the other characters I do care about. So, like, I might care by proxy if she was the long-lost daughter of, you know,
Proctor,
I don't know.
Something.
Yeah.
So, Hood gets this connection to her. They get close in the few days that they've known each other, and then she dies. What does that do to Hood's character?
It's like
die?
The seventh woman. I mean, I don't know. Like, it happens to him all the time.
But if she lives, what does that mean?
I don't know.
They get together? They...
No.
He saves her from the Satanist thing. Don't you think that makes you closer?
I mean, if anybody... It's like...
I mean, and from a storytelling standpoint, what do you do with that?
I don't know, because it seems like that if, Luke, I mean, I don't know what they're playing at here, but if Lucas and Carrie both survive to the end, it seems like the reason you kill Gordon off is so that they can get back together and they're this, you know, fated romance. But it seems like one or both of them is going to die. It certainly seems like I can't imagine me rooting for Hood riding off in the Dodge Charger with Veronica.
No.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of thematic possibility there that she's a cop who's got a little bit of criminal in him, or he's like a criminal that's got a little bit of cop in him. So they kind of like a yin and yang couple, but like, I don't buy their chemistry and I right. don't care anything about her character.
She's got a drug problem, so she's a tortured, tragic person.
Sure.
So well, probably going to kill
Amy
her.
Schumer, she's the tortured skank.
Yes.
Archetype.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's who Hood needs. She put on the guy goggles.
And Bodhi comes and attacks Brock. Just to threaten him with a knife and then mysteriously
let me show you my face. And yes, you
please
know,
ID me. I know I sent you a message earlier, but I wanted to make sure you got it.
Right, right. yeah, I just want to fuck with you outside the police department. And thank God you park in this dark alley every night.
Yeah,
so
instead of the fully
that.
Lit parking lot where yeah. everyone else parks.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And I would have been so pissed off if he had killed. Like, honestly, maybe this guy needs to kill Bunker or somebody that I do, not Bunker, I'm sorry, Brock. Somebody I do give a shit about because. Then I would be engaged in wanting to see this guy. I guess he killed Rebecca, which pisses me off.
Yeah.
But I still kind of feel like there's more to that story.
Right.
So I don't know.
Because I haven't ever seen him torturing Rebecca, right? We saw the way he handled his most recent victim.
Yeah, but I mean, but why would we chronologically flashback to her?
Well, you were saying that you feel like there's more to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
And he stalked her all the way up to Hood's cabin, apparently. Yeah, there's more to that. I don't know what it is. You know, again, my money, such as it is kind of on the Burton, bad bow tie Burton possibility. But
yeah, because we never actually, even when that person was dragging her through the woods uh-huh. with a hood on, which is his MO,
yeah,
but we've never
exactly
actually saw
like, sure.
the exact person who was doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's more to that.
So as much as I hate to admit it, I think that you're right. It's entirely
oh, really?
Possible that someone who is aware of the serial killer killed Rebecca just to make it seem like she would be one of his victims.
Okay.
As well as get her out of their hair.
Yeah. Which makes to me, that's that just screams that the Satanist plot is entirely superficial.
Right.
Because you could have just had the mystery of who killed Rebecca.
Right.
Because, like, you know, and Hood have to investigate that mystery because, you know, like, Proctor, it's like, okay, well, maybe he's met, but it would take a lot for me to believe that Proctor would want to do that, and I don't know. It seems like that's the more straightforward, interesting plot that people care about. Or just don't kill Rebecca and roll her power struggle with her, you know, the criminal, I guess, criminal Amish surrogate father sexual partner into this whole thing. Like, that's more interesting than the Satanist plot.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of smacks of late season 5 or, you know, the second half of season 5 of Breaking Bad with the neo-Nazi plot.
Right.
But that at least had all this character resolution that you were waiting for. Whereas, yes, I'm still waiting for that, but we're 6 episodes in. I've gotten shit.
Exactly.
With resolving the Lucas Hood mystery. So it's one thing to have farcical villains, but you gotta have like some sizzle. You gotta have some steak with their sizzle. You can't just have all sizzle. This the Satanists are not enough sizzle, and they can't stand alone without the steak.
Exactly. Very well said. Job gets his Joe back when he puts on Carrie's clothes and jewelry.
Yeah, him raiding her closet, and then
so good.
And then Dava called him on it, and she's like, "It looks good on you. Most things do."
Yeah, so Dava broke out of her grandparents' house, and now she wants to stay with her mom again.
Smells like old. What does she say? It smells like old lady ass, or
smells like ass, and they don't have Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, well that you don't have Wi-Fi. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's inhuman.
Probably has only 3G. Can't live. That's
she's still got the dial-up plug-in.
Yeah,
connection.
I mean, at least Job's tortures had Wi-Fi.
Right.
I mean, if he didn't have that, then get the fuck out of there.
Exactly.
He broke his own damn self out.
Which turns out to be a pretty bad idea when we get the... I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about Cruz and Proctor. Cruz gives Proctor the information about it being Carrie. They find Carrie in the courthouse, and he threatens her. And they have a mutual...
No fucks were given by Carrie.
Yeah. They have a mutual understanding that they are now on a collision course with each other. And Proctor buries Rebecca with Burton. So, double extra huge fuck you to the Amish people who sure. wanted her body back.
Are the Amish going to play another any part of the plot from here on out? Because I don't know. So I got two minds of this. On one hand, it would be kind of thematically cool if the Amish were somehow involved in taking Proctor down.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, Proctor's largely their creation. And through, you know, like, maybe they'd have been destroyed without Proctor. And they shunned Proctor when he need. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's weird with my background to root for the Amish to do anything in this circumstance. But
yeah.
It does feel like it would be kind of dramatically appropriate if at some point the Amish were in a position to either help them and they didn't, or if they just like straight up Amish mafia and pitchforked him to death. Like, I don't know. Or like, is that going to be like, there's going to be a new generation Proctor who gets the giant crucifix tattoo and takes Proctor down? Cause that's what needs to happen for their survival. Like, I don't know.
I think the only role they'll play moving forward is being the victims of the one last heist. When they steal the piles of cash they have hidden,
the pile of Amish gold.
Yes,
that they've been taken from the English for their friendship bread and their finely crafted furniture and their creepy
butters
dolls with
cheeses.
No faces. Yeah.
Yes. Proctor goes back to his office and Calvin is there with Watts's head, and he breaks up with him. So, what does that do for Proctor's
Doesn't
cartel
he have, like,
supply?
2 days left to scrape all the Amish drugs in the world together
he
to
does.
Sell to the cartel.
He does.
And now we're going to have the cartel mixed up in the next two episodes. I'm not super excited about that.
Yeah, it seems like. What does Proctor do?
I don't know.
Is he powerless against the Brotherhood?
Well, I mean, I guess that's. I'm kind of interested to find out what the hell he does, because I don't think the Brotherhood were wrong when they said that they've got 10 times the muscle. But it seems like that when he's needed to, Proctor's always been able to, like, whistle and get together a bunch of dudes in black suits with Uzis as a security force, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure.
He can
Cruz showed up with a army full of guys.
Sure. Was that his muscle, or is that stuff that she recruited? Like he's got resources that the Brotherhood... Like, the Brotherhood, you can't, like, I imagine if you go, like, as a neo-Nazi to a mercenary group and, like, hey, I'd like to hire you, they look at your tattoos like, no fucking way, pal.
Yeah.
Like, the recruitment process of the Nazis is like, hey, you don't like black people? I don't like black people. Hey, come here, get those tattoos. Now you're part. That's like a longer con,
right?
You know, to get muscle. Like, you just can't go out and hire it.
Exactly.
You have to rely on, which is, I guess, you got, you know, this. You certainly have more loyalty that way, but... It's not like you can have an elastic supply of muscle the way Proctor can. The more pragmatic guys can just go buy it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how he outfights the neo-Nazis, but I take it for granted that he will.
Yes, I take it his muscle is just like people
just,
that he's employed in the
it's
strip
just
clubs
Burton.
And the meat and the what's it called? That meatpacking place. Was it meatpacking
sure.
or slaughterhouse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, slaughterhouse.
And other businesses.
All
like
of his
that.
Muscles, Burton.
Well, yes.
Burton actually is a collection of many muscle groups that form together like Voltron. So they'll just disassemble and turn into individual full-size Burtons. And there you go. He'll have like 24 of them.
Except for right now, where Burton is not present as his boss is being threatened by four guys.
Yeah,
with
like, hey,
head.
Burton, I'm going to be burning midnight oil. I'm going to be spending a lot of long hours in the office alone in the dead of night. How about you take this night off?
Yeah.
Burton going and pressing his bow tie collection tonight?
What does he do? It's not like he's...
I don't think Burton would do anything except for, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Burton would do if he comes in there and finds that guy in his boss's seat with his... feet propped up, his jack boots propped up.
I've seen him do this
Proctor's
a million times.
Desk.
He would make sure that he would just stand between them and make sure that
he would glare. He'd tilt his head sideways 45 degrees.
Take his glasses off, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, maybe pop his neck, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what he'd do, but he probably wouldn't just sit there and maybe Proctor would have to have him back down.
Yeah. Maybe he's sitting outside answering the phones.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, you got Burton. Like, Burton could kill Calvin right now.
All four of those guys. Easily.
And Bunker can kill Calvin.
Yeah.
Like, you really put a paper tiger for your leaders there, neo-Nazis. It's a good thing you're so fucking stupid.
Yeah, just because he's unhinged doesn't make him smart or savvy at all. Clearly, no. He's not making good business decisions.
Mm-mm.
Because I don't run drugs, but I'm pretty sure you want that connection.
That's the thing about the someone's always the boss until they're not anymore. I mean, that's what I learned 5 seasons watching The Wire. Someone's wearing a crown until they don't.
And finally we get the assault on Ranch Carry and get the ultimate Cruz Carry showdown, except that we didn't. Did you think their fight was a little weak?
I didn't think it was weak, but I was in disbelief that she throws herself out of the window. She's about 30 feet away. And Job and Carrie. Job's got an automatic, some sort of rifle.
They can't
get
one.
That he hoses down. They can't. I mean, maybe she did get shot and she's going to be like Predator style. You'll see her next episode, like, tending to a wound.
Right.
But it really, like, these guys are badasses or not. And I don't know, I guess they're saying that Cruz is equally a badass, but I just want to see Carrie beat her down, man. I really do. I did like this. So what made this fight interesting to me is the editing of Job and Carrie together, even though in separate rooms or in separate floors, but they were kind of doing the same thing. Like Carrie's trying to get this thing to smash into Cruz, and Job's trying to get his scissors that he can stab the dude.
Yeah.
I thought that was fairly well done. And I thought it was pretty exciting. It just, I thought that the ending, if you're going to build up this Cruz Carry confrontation, like, one of them shouldn't have walked away from it.
Yeah, I agree. And after the police come and everything, how does Cruz go back to work the next day?
I don't think Carrie's going to tell on her. That's not their style.
Really?
She's not going to go to Brock and well,
I would.
I mean, she might go to Brock and say, hey, Cruz is bad. And then he's like, well, yeah, I know, but I still can't stop having phone conferences.
I guess it wouldn't matter because that's the thing, like, would just get her released.
When Maggie came to tell Bunker that, you know, things have broke bad with her and Calvin, and she's like, he like takes her to the side, I made the joke like, no, we need to go another 10 feet. We're not close enough to Cruz's desk. We got to be having our secret conversation there. But I don't know. Like, Brock already knows that she's in Proctor's pocket, which means she's doing bad shit. So.
Right, but to get an elite force to come and attack a family, that's...
What's the proof?
Carrie? Yeah, she's a very reliable witness.
The other thing is Carrie wants her kids back, so the fact that her compound just got raided by a bunch of armed guns, maybe she wants
to keep
this...
kid was in it, too.
Yeah.
That's not good. Is Brock now obligated to take Deva away?
Yeah, because the cops are already involved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, I don't know.
Not good.
Maybe Cruz is, because there's only 2 episodes left, maybe Cruz is just on the lam from here on out.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm fine with that. Just get her out of that police station.
Sure.
And Hood comes over after Deva calls, and he comforts her, and then he comforts Carrie, and they have a nice family moment, covered in blood and glass and...
I thought it was rich for Hood to be lecturing anyone. Like, oh, how can you be involved in Proctor at this stage in the game? And what about... Like, really, motherfucker? Everything you're saying about Carrie, it applies to... And I guess that's the point. And once she, like... She, you know, to her credit, she doesn't sit there and take it. She starts coming at him crazy, and then he hugs it out.
Yeah, they flip-flopped. Now that she's ramping up, he's calming down, and they're missing each other's marks yet again. It's just not... meant to be for those two.
Yeah, and there's interesting what Deva says about wanting to go home, but I don't know where that is anymore. I think that's interesting. I think Job announced that he's getting tired of fighting for his life. Like, man, I hope Job gets a happy ending out of all this.
Oh, yes, of all the people.
And he's doing some really interesting work as he's kind of furthering, transforming his way to his own kind of, I guess, visual image of what he, you know, trying to continually change to what he is comfortable being.
Yes.
You know? But, like, there is, as he peels those layers away or puts those layers back on, it's causing him to confront his torture again.
Yes.
And I don't, but I don't know, because that storyline, those guys are still kind of out in the wind, too, because those guys.
What? Yeah, that one guy.
And again, we're only two episodes left to wrap all this up. And I it's just like this show to, like, the next two episodes be, like, fucking amazing, and then I'm feeling like an idiot now.
Exactly. Like, the Satanist thing is resolved within the first 10 minutes, and then it's back onto the right. Up awesome stuff, which is what I'm really hoping for.
Yeah. Or you find out that, like, Proctor set up the Satanist to take down Rebecca somehow. I mean, that seems far-fetched.
Really does.
But I mean, that would be a game changer. That would probably unite everyone against Proctor, which is kind of what I need to see happen from here on out anyway.
Yeah, I agreed.
And you got the cartel. Just so a lot of balls up in the air. My bullshit meter's ringing.
Smash. Okay, so ready
yeah,
for
Alan Ball comes and gets
smashes the window.
Breaks the window in the studio and drags both off. I heard you're talking shit about me. Yeah.
Ready for some feedbacks?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This first one is from Gretelby. Few things in life are... From the forum, sorry. Few things in life are more horrifying than a bloody, butt-naked neo-Nazi standing in your door. I know a lot of people here...
With a limp dick.
...have a crush on Chris Coy, and...
Is that
well,
the guy that plays this guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
People have a crush on this guy?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Because, like, to me, you take away Bunker's animal magnetism and his rugged, like, just honky good looks, and you mix in some Poindexter and equal amount of Nazi tattoos, and I'm like, there's no crush there.
I
for
think
me.
Chris Coy has been in something else where he was an attractive.
Okay, that
lead.
I would buy that.
So
sure.
If you carry that over into this, then. And Bunker's got this Jake Gyllenhaal thing going for him. Anyway, well, you could say he's got a lot more than just a voice. Chris Coy, everyone. Round one of Cruz Anna did
unless
not...
Unless that is prosthetic. Because that's the thing, like, the few times I'm aware of dudes just hanging it all out there, like Marky Mark in Boogie Nights, prosthetic penis. Hodor and HBO, prosthetic penis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about Fassbender, because he's rocked out with his cock out quite a few times.
Yes.
But, like, most of the times you hear it's like, you know, it's always been prosthetic penis, because God forbid you show a man with a penis that's anything less than, like, 7-8 inches of hanging meat there.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't know. I assume it's a prosthetic penis, but it wasn't, like, some kind of third leg gargantuan thing. Like, it's a believable prosthetic penis.
Exactly.
It's not a Dirk Diggler, but... What is?
Round one of Cruz Anna did not disappoint. Even looked like Cruz's training was getting the better of Anna at times. Yes, I thought so too. I thought for someone who spent a lot of time preparing for the ultimate showdown, she was...
Especially, like, why didn't the mama bear reflex kick in?
Yeah, your daughter's in the house.
Yeah, I thought she was going to Hulk the fuck out.
Thought she was going to get Burton and tear her throat out. Next one is from GHM3 from the forums. The home invasion scene was great, except for the very end when Cruz activates her plot shield and crashes through a window and runs away unscathed with two people shooting at her from 20 feet away, one with a rifle, no less.
Pretty much. She got those personal force fields.
I also really didn't like the ultra-predictable end, especially how she finally starts the car just before the... this is Veronica's character. Just before the crazy bitch smashes the window. She has a gun, a running car, and knows how to fight, so just how the fuck does this crazy bitch get the upper hand here? Stomp the throttle, gone.
She Tiger Woods'd him.
Or she could just, you know, shoot her in the face.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it smashed the black so much. I could, like, if she had, like, I don't know. Would she have, like, a 9-iron or?
It seemed like a golf club,
her
yeah.
Her world's best Satanist trophy. I mean, I don't know. But, like, I guess you just keep swinging and, you know, their human reaction time being what it is.
Exactly. But if you're, I don't think the car was started mm-hmm. or even had the keys in the ignition.
Yeah.
But if it had been, then yeah, you just. step on the gas and you're out of there.
I want to know how the Satanist sneaks up on her. Because I just...
Well, she had her back turned. She was... I think she was staring at the house. And the Satanist probably went out to the garden shed around back and just made a circle around.
You know, you got the rear view mirror and whatnot. I guess you can. You could, like,
shoot. Yeah, she was kind of angled away from that side. All right.
All right.
And she was on the phone. That's why you don't drive but if you're while you're talking on the
phone. Or if you don't sit there and bullshit about your, you know, having a perp with your bullshit meter going off. You, like, get in the car, like, all right, that was a creepy situation. This is a person of interest. I'm going to get the fuck out of their driveway. Although, I mean, I feel like that's... Most police just don't assume that they're going to...
Or you call your FBI contact and say, this is a person of interest. Please do an all-points bulletin.
I'm in nitpick mode because the episode wasn't working for me.
Right.
I wouldn't give bat an eye about any of this happening if this episode had been fucking awesome, so...
And they say that either way, the only real reason she ended up tied up in the house is because of lazy writing.
Yeah. I mean, not even if it's lazy writing. It's just writing I'm not interested in. So you're going to have to do a lot more work to not have me nitpicking everything.
Right.
Their ball and chopper.
Yes, Feehan. The ball and chopper.
The old ball and chopper. Shackled around her ankles.
That's all I have.
Okay. Well, I'm not too excited about the next 2 weeks of Banshee, but you know what I am excited about? Penny fucking Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful tonight.
And I think we forgot to mention last week, that we, you know, we started our Penny Dreadful podcast. We call it Penny Earful. You can search for it on iTunes or get it on baldmove.com. Me and Cecily are, giving it the full Bald Move treatment.
Yes.
Scene by scene breakdowns, all that good stuff. And we're excited because this season started off pretty right.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good one.
It's what we're looking for. And we got to really, you know, we're not, I mean, although this Penny Dreadful could roll out Satanists and have roll out Satanists, and they've been fine villains because that's Penny Dreadful.
Exactly.
If Penny Dreadful rolled out Amish mercenaries, we'd be like, what the fuck? You know, yes. know your lane, Banshee. Don't go Penny Dreadful villains. Leave that to Penny Dreadful. Like, yes. What's next? Like, maybe it's good they got canceled because season 5 would come back and it'd be vampires. But and Burton would be a werewolf, which he might be.
He might be.
But if you'd like to send us feedback, please do so at Banshee@baldmove.com. Banshee@baldmove.com, forums.baldmove.com, and we'll be back next week with the penultimate episode. Hopefully they can pull out of their nosedive. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.